This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin Mak, Julian Ng and Wong Shaoning. It is 6 o'clock in the morning, the 20th of August. And how are you doing this morning, guys?
Very good. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, good morning. It's a nice way, it's a little hazy though. Do you all realize it?
Not really. It's too dark for me to notice any haze at the moment.
It's been going on for the past few days.
It was particularly bad last night, actually. Yeah. So all those asthmatics, please stay indoors.
Did you manage to run yesterday or did you just go to the gym?
I just went to the gym. Even I'm scared to go outside and run because the haze is really bad.
Yeah, and it's really not good for you either. No. So
I've got my inhaler in front of me.
When is that going to end? When will the haze clear?
I think that's more of a philosophical question at this point, Julian. What have you been up to, though? Because this is the first time we've had you in studios this week.
I have been, I don't know, I forget, but I'm still in one piece, nothing broken.
And that's the
important
part.
Still in one piece, yes.
Do you know what day it is, incidentally?
So Tuesday.
I'm sure there's a deeper, darker question in mind. It cannot be like so simple with you.
Birthday. No, it's not. So this is something that I actually thought was a joke when I first saw it, right? Apparently, the 20th of August is World Mosquito Day.
No.
And then what are we supposed to do on World Mosquito Day? Kill it or let them bite us?
Live and let live. No, apparently it is the commemoration of the discovery in 1897 that female mosquitoes transmit malaria.
Oh.
Wow. I know of a few people who have gotten dengue in the past few weeks, so it's very dangerous, actually.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So I think this is a timely reminder to make sure that you clear all your water containers outside, collecting rain or whatever.
Yeah, it's not just fogging, right? It's you have to really get rid of all the lava because that's the problem. And stagnant water.
Yeah, and if the fogging is happening, you know, close all your doors and windows because a lot of the times the mosquitoes do try and escape into your house, which is not a fun time either.
Yes, kill all the mosquitoes on World Mosquito Day.
It seems to be a contradiction, but never mind.
It's a day to remind you to kill them. Kill them.
Oh, dear. Well, nonetheless, we do have lots of interesting discussions lined up for you this morning. What are indeed we going to be talking about?
Well, in Holland, students need housing, while nursing home residents are looking for friends and activities. Hey, doesn't that sound like a perfect match?
Does indeed.
Okay, and also vernacular schools have always been in the spotlight, but based on a panel that was held recently comprising of the who's who of Malaysian politics, they are also saying that vernacular schools can play a role in making all of us multilinguists.
So if you want to weigh in on those conversations, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. First up, though, we will be talking about my favourite part of the workday, i.e. lunch. So be sure to stay tuned for that here on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Piano Man by Billy Joel, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin, Julian and Shaoning. Now, lunch is my favourite part of the workday. Whether or not it's healthy is really another matter, but at least the Guardian has this article highlighting 5 ways to actually have a healthier lunchtime. I mean, completely aside from maybe not taking up that packet of nasi lemak for your lunch. They also do suggest things like, you know, drinking more or drinking water in a mindful manner. So
reflect on where your water comes from.
No, more like drink it often and in small amounts, because if you drink too much water all at once, it can cause acid reflux. And it also suggests not eating at your desk, which I confess that I am very guilty of quite a lot of the time.
No, I'm the most guilty. I never leave my desk.
Ball and chain, that's literally the case for you guys.
Essentially, yeah.
Well, I would combine the two, right? Don't eat your desk and maximize your workout, because I would say, you know, walk somewhere for lunch. Walk a good 10 minutes to the lunch venue and then walk back after lunch.
Well, that's a good idea, Julian. So you tick both boxes at once, right?
Yeah, exactly. Just combine the two.
Better yet, why not jog?
Jog there. Run there, yeah. That's a good idea. You can go somewhere further. It will take you places.
Yeah, it will. Yeah.
It's just that, guys, it's really hot to run in KL just, at 12 o'clock.
Just
in the
use the gym for a shower. That's all. Don't use the gym for a workout.
No, but it's just so hot. That's the problem. Going, you know, exercising outside at noon is not going to be easy, right?
And polluted.
Yes, with the haze.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think at least for us sometimes, because if we take our lunch break at 10 o'clock, then it's a little bit cooler, but then obviously not everyone starts work at 5 o'clock in the morning.
No.
So, yeah. And it also suggests avoiding the post-lunch slump. And I didn't realize that it had a name until they kind of put it down there, because this is something that I also feel every once in a while. Yeah, it's when you come back and then, you know, you're fresh from lunch and you're full and you're sleepy. And you sit down at your desk and think, I actually wouldn't mind a snack. That's the post-lunch slump.
Ah, okay. Yeah. But I think that perhaps you should allow yourself to have a little nap, maybe a 5-minute or 10-minute nap. Although for a lot of people, that doesn't happen, right? A 10-minute would morph into 2 hours.
Yes, yes. I am one of those people. 10 minutes is not going to do it. It's 1 hour at least.
No, that's why I only allow myself to nap on the floor on a yoga mat. Because it's so uncomfortable after half an hour, you will get up. Okay, your neck will ache. So there is a maximum amount of time you can lie on the yoga mat. So I never lie on the bed. Because if it's on the bed, like Lin Ma, 2 hours later, I'll be like, what time is it? Oh my goodness, it's 6 p.m.
And you'll feel great.
No, but it's not a great feeling either, because you wake up and you're immediately stressed.
Yeah,
right?
you're panicked. You're like, where did the time go? Dreads, I was supposed to do A, B, C, D, and none of it is done, you know?
Yep. So I guess, what do you both do then in efforts to make your lunchtime healthier? I mean, I know you, Shanning, you're quite a health, kind of like a
health freak.
Health freak, yeah?
I'm also a cheapo. So I bring lunch from home.
That's healthy, though.
Yeah, I try as much as possible.
It's healthy in some ways. It's not necessarily healthy how Shanning does it.
Really?
Have you seen her lunches?
No, I haven't. What's in it? You cook up a storm, do you?
No, she brings tapioca with leftover sugar, liberated from McDonald's, expired salads.
What? It's
well,
edible.
At least you're avoiding all the preservatives and eating natural, apart from the sugar.
That's true.
Yeah. It's edible. It's still wholesome.
I like tapioca, though, with salt, not with sugar.
No sugar. Yeah, I generally don't buy food from outside. It's just a habit. So I just look at my fridge and say, I'll bring A, B, C, D to work rather than go out and buy something.
Yeah, actually, you've passed 100 days of not buying food in the office, haven't you?
Yes, yes. It's something I used to do in all my old offices. All my ex-colleagues will know that I'm the queen of Tupperwares in the office fridge.
So you're just chained to your desk?
No, I go to the gym, actually, before lunch. Yeah, but I just prefer to know what I'm eating every day. Not that I don't enjoy the outside food. Don't get me wrong. If there is a reason to go out, like y'all say, let's go and try something, I would go. But on a normal day, I'm quite happy to eat what I prepared.
Well, for me, I skip breakfast. So lunch would be my first meal of the day. And that could happen at 10 a.m., 11 a.m. because of our schedule. And I do suffer from that post-lunch slump as well because I start feasting, right? having not taken any breakfast, I start feasting.
You're like feasting. The bear, right? You've broken the hibernation.
All right. Well, do let us know what you think as well. What do you do in order to have a healthier lunch? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a couple of messages coming up for you now, and then we'll be back to talk to you more about rent-free housing to students in Netherlands. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. That was The Wire by Haim, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Shanning. Now, in the Netherlands, there is a very interesting sort of housing a situation happening with one particular Dutch nursing home, specifically that they are now offering rent-free housing to students in exchange for alleviating some of the loneliness and isolation of the nursing home's residents. So essentially, they're playing host now to about 6 students, and they can come and go as they please, essentially treated as normal accommodation, but they have to spend a certain number of hours per month, 30 hours per month, acting as good neighbours, because there's been some research to suggest that actually, particularly when the elderly fall sick, the isolation that can come from it is actually really detrimental to their health.
I think loneliness is a very big problem in the world right now, especially for older people. And this really kills two birds with one stone, right? Don't mind the pun. But, there is also a housing problem. Young people cannot afford to pay their rentals or even to buy a home. So I think this is a very good, something that really fulfills two purpose.
Yeah, I think this is honestly an excellent idea, provided you get the right students that don't drive the residents up the wall. Right?
Yeah, so that's the one rule.
All the other way around.
Yeah, all the other way around is true, actually. They need to coexist happily together understand the boundaries of this, right? Because if you're a student and you can't, like, you shouldn't come back home at 4 in the morning or be disruptive or play very loud music, you know, it's...
Do you think that works for the young people?
What, to have all these curbs on them?
Yeah.
Well, when you think about it, it's rent-free, right? So I don't think it's a lot to ask, you know, if you just come back at decent hours and listen to your music with your earphones.
Yeah, I think, the nursing home, one of the nursing home managers did point out that actually music's not such a problem because most of the elderly there are hard of hearing. So it's not like they can hear it. I think this is overall quite a good sort of arrangement, right, at the end of the day, because it is rent free. You do end up saving a lot of money on accommodation that you can channel into either saving or, you know, having maybe a better lifestyle than most university students are used to. But I guess, would you guys take this up, you know, in exchange for those 30 hours of, I mean, essentially it's like community service, right?
Because It would be also, it's a form of my community service back to the home, right? Because I'm kind of sharing, spending some time with these lonely elderly people. So I bring a little bit of the outside world into the home. Why not?
Yeah. I think it opens up awareness though, because if I look back to the time when I was, let's say, the ages of these...
uni students, 20s.
Yeah,
once upon a time,
to say kids, right? But yeah. they're not kids. There is very little that is known about old people and what their concerns are, what the diseases are, and what kind of help that they need, right? And there is also a tinge of gerontophobia because you're afraid, like, of the unknown, like, and this is something that will happen to everybody. We will get old one day.
Yes.
So being involved in such an initiative, I think, would open up our awareness to this kind of thing.
I mean, I have always lived with grandparents, so there's always somebody old in my house. And if there's anything I learned from living with elderly, is a little bit of you get their life experience, and then you also learn to manage them, and it also learn to be patient with yourself. Because the problem about youth is you always want things now, right? Yeah. But with the elderly, everything has to be a bit slower, and then you kind of mellow a little bit. So everybody learns from each other.
Absolutely. And at the end of the day, you mentioned life experiences, right? Because I've always found that actually talking to the elderly is very, very interesting. Because I used to ask my grandfather particularly, oh, you know, what was it like during the war? Because he was a child during World War II. And obviously he kind of glossed past some of the more horrifying aspects of it. But he would tell me, like, you know, what it was like to have to live in the forest with his family. And he was at Merdeka Square on Independence Day in 1957.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was those were the kinds of conversations that I thought actually really enriched my understanding as well of the previous generations. So I thought that was, I always really enjoyed those kinds of conversations.
Which is why I eat tapioca today, because that's my grandmother's wartime food and we always had it in the house.
Absolutely. Well, do let us know what you would think about this. Would you enter into this kind of exchange rent-free to discuss with, to essentially spend time with elderly people? You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have the 6:30 news coming up now, though, and to take you there, here is Boogie Wonderland by Earth, Wind and Fire, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Cubism Dream by Local Natives, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Julian Ng and Wong Xiaoning. Now, vernacular schools is a topic that everyone really likes to discuss, right? Because particularly since the education system, everyone has a stake in education, and vernacular schools also came up yesterday. Well, this was a report in the Malay Mail from yesterday about a forum that was held at Sunway College involving Deputy Defence Minister Liu Chin Tong, Rabaul MP Khairi Jamaluddin, as well as Permatang Pau MP Nurul Izzah Anwar. And they were discussing the school systems and whether or not it's better to have one school system or vernacular schools preserving, you know, cultures and identities. And it seems that there was some disagreement in this sense, because Deputy Defence Minister Liu Chin-tong, he said that national unity can still be fostered with vernacular schools. In fact, maybe it's just a matter of ensuring that everyone has a mastery of multiple languages. But Khairi Jamaluddin disagreed.
Yeah, but he felt that a one-school system is one of the best ways to foster unity. I don't think that is necessarily wrong, but it will take a lot to actually dismantle the vernacular school, and that's going to be extremely controversial. It also, I think, raises the question of whether we should celebrate diversity. And in these times, whether, you know, that is a better way to foster unity.
Yeah, I don't know how just removing schools is overnight going to make us all racial, you know, be united and have this racial harmony. It's not as simplistic as that, right?
Yeah.
Because there are a lot more other policies out there which kind of, in a way, divide us. And it's not only just the policies, it's also the politicians which continue to have these, you know, kind of racially divided statements off and on when it suits them, right? They keep reminding us sometimes that we are like many races, and then they use that as their talking points, right, to gain political support.
Absolutely. And Khairi does point out that he does think that we may have somewhat missed the boat on if we wanted to actually put forward a one-school system, because vernacular schools are very entrenched now in the country, and it's very difficult to divorce the idea of vernacular schools from the ideas of culture and preserving your heritage. So if someone were to say, oh no, down with vernacular schools, immediately all of the multiple communities will all step up and say, hey, you know, you can't, because this is how we teach our heritage to the younger generations. So I don't know, I don't really know what this, there's no easy solution for this, but I guess it would be, for me, the first step would be removing, as you said, Xiaoning, the politics from education, because at the end of the day, that really doesn't help matters, that we have politicians constantly wading into the discussion and stoking racial tensions themselves, even though we are not supposed to be doing that.
Yeah, I mean, like the card issue, right, really, you know, became such a hot topic. When actually the discussion is it going to be beneficial to students? Is at the end of the day the main thing, right? Could the students be, could their time be better used instead of CART? Or should CART be taught at art as opposed to BM? But it became this whole racial and religious issue beyond that. And then we suddenly got lost in the debate.
Yeah, I think that more studies need to be done on the performance of any schools, including vernacular. And I would be from the school of thought that if nothing is broken, don't fix it, right? Don't try to fix it. Because if the vernacular schools are, let's say, producing good students, then perhaps the most immediate solution would be to leave it alone for the moment. But, you know, going back to the CART issue, right, is that different? Because if you introduce CART in school, that is a cultural aspect that also the vernacular schools are doing, right? Because they are also preserving their own culture.
No, that's why the debate is not, to me, it's not like should you or should you not have CART, but when, if you want to have it, you have this internal debate about the time, because there's only 8 hours in the kid's life, right? I mean, that he's awake, or the number of like 4 hours in school. Is this the best way to spend time for the student? And then should it be part of BM curriculum, which is supposed to be, when they don't even have enough time to study Bahasa Melayu properly?
Yeah, I think that was the sticking point, that it was introduced as part of the Bahasa Malaysia curriculum and therefore would have been compulsory. When people raised the fact that, you know, we'd have our literacy rates are not up to par, our reading skills, our mathematics skills, our science skills are not up to par, and it almost looked like introducing CART would be detracting from the time that students have to spend on other more arguably work valuable skills. So education is one of those things I don't think we'll stop discussing anytime soon, realistically, because as much as we would like to say that, hey, politics in education should stop, should is not actually going to stop. And well, we will have to shelve. I think we'll have to keep an eye on any further developments out of the education policy in here in Malaysia, because that will be certainly fascinating to watch. At the meantime, though, we are heading into a couple of messages, and then we'll be taking a look at what's been said in the papers this morning. So be sure to stay tuned here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Soul Kitchen by The Doors, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Shaoning. Thank you very much for your messages this morning. We've had some interesting discussions. We've talked about vernacular schools. We've talked about how to have a healthier lunchtime, as well as whether you would take part in a scheme which essentially gives you rent-free accommodation in a nursing home in exchange for actually interacting and being good neighbours to these elderly residents. And Ellie Rahim says, in regards to the nursing home story, it would be great, like living with lots of adopted grandparents, and there's always food.
It's true.
They'll
be forever like, have you eaten? You want something?
You want some biscuits? Yeah. Do you want some cake?
Cookies.
You look a bit skinny. You want some rice?
Yeah. Yes, we also have a tweet from Michael.
Yeah, and this is about eating healthy for lunch, and he says skip the rice, right? Which is, I guess, everybody does now, right? They always like separo nasi is the latest word.
Mm-hmm, it is.
It's very addictive though, rice. Right?
Tell me about it. I'm such a
we
carbo.
All love it.
I'm a carbo queen.
but rice and carbs do contribute to that post lunch slump.
Exactly.
So if you want to be peppy and ready for work, yeah, maybe skip the rice, right? But also taking a look at what's in the newspapers this morning, I think the New Straits Times and the Star both went with the same front page, specifically in regards to Utusan Malaysia. So Straits Time, the NST has Utusan No More with a picture of one of the early issues of Utusan Malaysia, and it also within the paper, its first two pages are a spread regarding Utusan, some of the reports that their editorial staff were told that their print edition would be ceasing tomorrow, Wednesday, and reactions as well from some of the ex-editors who were shocked and sad to hear the news.
But the Star has a different story. I mean, they are on page 5 about Utusan, and they say that the print and online publications will all stop, which is a bit different, right, from what the Straits Times says.
Because New Straits Times and Malaysia Kini have both said that the online editions will continue, and actually it's not even when they're talking about the print editions being ending. I think Star goes with quite a dramatic way of putting it,
we'll
right?
We'll be laid to rest tomorrow with the cessation of all its print and online publications, I quote.
Yeah, so New Straits Times goes with suspended, and there is apparently the option for it to be revived, but with fewer staff than originally.
Yeah, I think that if you have a lot of debts, total debts of 140 million at this point in time, and 7 consecutive quarters of losses, I think it was mentioned by the Edge Financial Daily, it's kind of hard to even put the online version on life support system, and the staff is being stranded right now. They're not paid like for a long time,
and they've already gone through several rounds
Correct.
Of VSS,
which they haven't been paid. Also,
I think there was a call by the Malaysian Trades Union Congress to forward any donations that you might have, right? To
I think it was the NUJ, the National
NUJ,
Union
sorry.
Of Journalists, yeah.
NUJ,
and
yeah.
I think the NUJ also organised a picket outside Utusan Melayu offices, because they've got NSD has a picture of on their second and third page spread of the protest. It is a number of people, presumably Utusan Melayu staff, holding signs saying kami semua sayangkan Utusan, bunyikan hon tanda sokong, and things like mana gaji kami.
I think the reserve also covers it, but from a business angle, talking about the fact that they have not submitted a PN17 regularization plan, that they risk being delisted, the debt and how many quarters of losses that they've suffered. And then only they go on to the news about the staff picketing outside the office, who hasn't been paid and things like that. So it's different angles on the same story.
Yeah, but interestingly, the Malaysia Reserve on the front page also highlighted that Hong Kong buyers are snapping up Malaysian property. So that's good news for Malaysian property developers and investors and speculators. Given the problems over there in Hong Kong, the property index there has effectively gone into bear market. So an advantage for Malaysian property developers. Also, the other headline I found very interesting was that the government is keeping the rice monopoly in Malaysia. I particularly like the fact that the single gatekeeping mechanism is an actual term that they use. You know, gatekeeping, gatekeeper, it's such a negative term with such negative connotations because gatekeepers usually imply that there is a lot of inefficiencies, right? The gatekeeper is only there to hold power and to seek rent from the people.
But the justification is for food safety, right? That was the
food argument. Security. Yes.
Food security. Mm.
All right, and even in the NST also, another interesting headline is with regard to the 1MDB trial, which has been postponed again. So that is set to begin on Monday, the 26th of August. But that is all the news that we have for you this morning from the newspapers. And thank you as well for your social media messages. And here is Something Good Can Work to take you there with by the Two Door Cinema Club, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.